Traits of Mermaid Women by William R. Mistel. Traits of Mermaid Women. Naturally feel united to nature at the core of their being. Time is not real for them. Psychic empathy. They literally feel what others feel. Emotional independence and detachment. Of empathic, they are also detached. They have no need to bond with others. Relationships. They realize that men cannot love as they love. Innocence. And being uninhibited, their innocence and uninhibited sensuality are beyond human understanding. On human beings, to put it mildly, they see human beings as not being fully alive. Secretive. They are adept at concealing who they are from others. Death. They see death as a transition by which they go home. Traits unique to hardcore mermaid women. Sense and heal from a distance. They can instantly connect to anyone on earth they think about. Relation to water. They are bonded to water. Water energy and healing. They use water energy to heal. Contact with the astral plane. Fairies, the dead, and out-of-body experiences. Other psychic ability. Telekinesis, mesmerism, and clairvoyance. Sense. They have a profound appreciation for taste and smell. Introduction. There are a few women who were once mermaids in other lifetimes. They have since acquired human souls under various circumstances and now incarnate as human beings. I have interviewed three such women. There are very rare instances of a mermaid entering a human child at birth. Though in human form, she still embodies her mermaid soul. Unlike a human being, her soul does change in any significant way. In effect, even as a child, she has the same astral body she has as an adult. We could call such a woman changelings. I have interviewed two of these women. There are also women who have no connections to the realm of mermaids. But they have the auras of mermaids. They reflect in themselves some aspect of water in nature, a waterfall, some quality of the sea, a lake, a stream, an Arctic bay, and so on. About 1 in 4,000 women has the aura of a mermaid. That is, the element of water as found in nature is the dominant quality in this individual's aura. Women who were once mermaids and women with strong water in their auras tend to share certain traits in common. These traits or qualities may vary in strength and intensity. An individual woman may not have all of them, but usually she will have enough of these traits to distinguish her from other women. A mermaid woman's astral body, then, is analogous to water in nature. She knows how to let go. She feels pure. She has a primordial innocence. She freely gives of herself. She feels that life involves a continual exchange of energy with others. And her connection to water produces highly developed feelings of peace, happiness, contentment, vivaciousness, empathy, and the desire to heal and benefit others. This is not an idea or a mental perspective. She actually perceives peace and love as energies that continuously flow between her and others. Being in the moment and exchanging energy with others is the essence of being alive. There are, of course, women who have psychic contact with the realm of mermaids. They see them, talk to them, and feel them. But these women do not identify with water and so do not embody water's distinguishing qualities. For myself, I can interview spirits quite easily. This, however, does this not mean I embody any of their qualities within myself. It often takes a great effort to change one's own nature. My writings are designed to make the realm of mermaids and undines more accessible to our world. Traits of mermaid women. Nature. Mermaid women feel they are a part of nature. They have a non-human identity. Some aspect or element of nature is alive within them, and that is who they sense they really are. Among other things, this allows them to accept the world as it is. Some perceive the world as being richly satisfying and fulfilling. And yet this evaluation is not based on the extent to which their personal needs are being satisfied. They are not greedy. They are not driven to possess whatever they can in order to ensure their own security. They intuitively experience themselves as already part of the richness of life. They experience the abundant energies of life flowing directly through their own bodies. One factor contributing to this outlook is that they usually have excellent childhood memories. They can frequently recall childhood dreams, dreams that still influence them as they consider their goals in life. They often have had spiritual experiences when they were very young, but they do not view these dreams and experiences as somehow removed from the adult they have become. Rather, they see them as seeds that are in the process of growing into fruition. Additionally, as children they may give away anything valuable they have to others. They have a hard time understanding ownership. In other words, in their view, having a valuable object does not make them more valuable. One woman said, "I have always known I am part of nature. It goes deeper than a vague feeling. It is embedded in my very core. I assumed as a child that everyone shared my view. However, around the age of 8 I realized for people around me that it did not work like that. They used nature for their own ends, or they tried to escape from it or destroy it. This was an unconscious action for them, part of their everyday routine." And for another woman, "I have a different connection to water than what I have with people. It is as if I can merge my soul with water, and it is then I truly become one. Within water I feel loved unconditionally, revitalized, refreshed, renewed, happy, pure, cleansed, and euphoric." All these words do not fully describe the feelings that water brings. As mentioned in the introduction, even if one of his story's greatest psychologists had met a mermaid woman, they would not have noticed anything extraordinary. They would have missed seeing who she was because a mermaid woman blends so easily with the state of mind and feelings of whomever she is with. But if they had observed her more carefully under a variety of circumstances and had known what to look for, they would have sensed something eerie and impossible to account for. She seems familiar and almost childlike. But unlike other human women, the depth of her emotional life is outside of time. It is sustained by her connection to nature. This enables her to respond in almost infinite ways to different situations and people whom she encounters. This is something observable, her range of emotional expressions. But again, you have to look very carefully to observe her capacity to adapt and form a unique response to each situation she enters. She is not a human woman. She is a woman with the astral body of a mortal being who is joined to all the waters of the earth. Time. For many mermaid women, time in the outer world is not real. There is no past, present, or future. Linear time does not exist. The present does not proceed from the past and move into the future. Rather, the past, present, and future are simultaneously together to form one integrated whole. One woman said, "Schedules do not matter. They are just something I know I have to do with my conscious mind. But I can be in my sense of timelessness and still do the things that I have to do. Though I plan and schedule, I remain in a timeless space. And, by flowing in each moment, time becomes timeless. And also, I was just thinking today how I can tap into a memory, and it is as intense and powerful as the moment it happened. The same energy is there. Time and space do not exist within my mind." Another woman, "I am playing a part as a human being. Obviously, to act human is to do what they do, which is having goals and striving to attain them. But I do not like being asked, 'What are your plans?' I simply try new things to see if they feel right and are comfortable." And another woman, "I try to act human. But I have no purposes or goals. I just go with the flow." Mermaid women feel the same inside of themselves their entire lives regardless of how old they are. "When I was 4 I did not feel any different than I do now. You could put me into that little 4-year-old body, and it is still me. And I know that I will feel the same when I am older." Another woman, "Thank you for putting this into words for me. I've been struggling to explain that one to myself and others for a long time. Especially the part of not feeling any different now from when I was a child." And another, "I am the same person now that I was as a child. Events in the outer world do not change who I am." Often these women mention that grown-ups started talking to them as if they were adults even when they were only 5 or 6 years old. One woman said that her teachers wanted to treat her as a child, but they caught on that she could think and feel as they do. At the same time, As adults, they still continue to feel youthful and playful like children. In terms of the psychology of water, if you identify with flowing water that you sense is inside of yourself, then you understand intuitively that water is always the same. The form it is in changes, but its essential qualities remain unchanged. Receptivity, the feeling alive by being in the flow, the ability to respond in the present moment, and also a vast depth with its power to receive, store, and release energy. On the open ocean, the water barely changes over millions of years. There is a timeless quality to mermaid women. You can be talking to a 20-year-old and feel she has the wisdom of a grandmother. Or you can be talking to a woman in her 60s and you feel you are 4 years old again playing with a friend in the backyard. To put it simply, a mermaid woman may well understand how to schedule appointments and meet deadlines. But she also feels that linear time is not real. What is real is the feeling of timelessness, that she is joined to nature from within in a way that schedules, calendars, and events of time cannot measure or define. Psychic empathy. Most people have a sense of what other people are feeling from observing body language, tone of voice, facial expressions, and so forth. Empathy may develop further by feeling sympathy for another person. You imagine what another is going through and what that would be like if it happened to you. Mermaid women have an additional dimension to their empathy. Like mermaids, they extend their auras through other people. This allows them to sense the other person's feelings as if those feelings are occurring within their own bodies. This is also for some of them the basis for a direct heart-to-heart and soul-to-soul connection with anyone else on Earth. In this case, there is no imagination or sympathy involved. It is direct sensory perception. They are literally feeling what others are feeling. They can also join their own astral body with another person's astral body, so the two become one energy system. This enables a mermaid woman to transfer the other person's pain or physical ailments from that individual's body into her own. She can then quickly dissolve this negative energy. Some of their comments: I can walk into a room and tell what everyone is feeling inside. I would meet someone in a store I had met once before, and I would pick up what was going on inside that person, like he was upset. I can walk up to a stranger and feel what the other person is feeling every time, good, bad, ugly feelings, it doesn't matter. An example of my empathy is when my daughter gets her feelings hurt at school over something most adults would think is silly. I can zoom to when a similar experience happened to me as a child and relate on that level. At the same time, my empathy skills feel her pain as if I am living in that very moment that she experienced. Another example is when I talk to a man who has come back from Iraq. Even before he mentions his pain, I start to see his thoughts and memories of being in Iraq. It is as if I was there myself. It is hard to explain in words because I am used to just sensing the vibrations and emotions in other people. There are no words or thoughts involved. Human beings are strange because they do so much with words and lose so much feeling as a result. I can find common ground with anyone and give love to them. I feel an instinctive need to encourage and nurture people I meet, and I have a lot of empathy, formerly to a fault, but I am guarding myself a little more now so as not to be taken advantage of. I can feel others' pain. By flowing my energy through someone, I can calm that person down. It is like taking them off to the side and giving them a breather. This kind of direct connection can help when words do not. When I meet people, I will see flashes of their lives and feel their pain and joy. If I let my guard down, in an instant I can be inside of someone else and feel their pain. I read a friend's letter to her boyfriend that she had written 9 years before. Not only did I feel what she thought and how she felt when she wrote the letter, but I also felt how the man felt whom the letter was written to. She was breaking up with him. I could feel his pain. I even got sick to my stomach because of the mental, physical anguish this man went through. It was as if we had become one. For mermaid women, psychic empathy is a natural way to interact with others. They feel what others feel and desire to care for them as if the others' emotional experiences are their own. Again, This is what mermaids do in their own realm. When two mermaids approach, their auras blend so that everything one feels, the other feels. This includes past memories as well. And on a deeper level of mythology, the race of mermaids watches over an actual location that contains the entire history of all mermaid experiences on Earth. A mermaid can go to this place and meditate in order to be healed or to receive wisdom from others' experiences. In terms of a technology for recording life experience, the mermaids are far more advanced than we are. Psychic empathy is, then, a healing and healthy mode of interaction for mermaids because for them the ocean itself is an embodiment of love. Flowing energy through another is just sharing the love that is already there. For human beings, such an approach is dangerous. Exposing oneself to others' negativity and desires would be a quick way to destroy one's own motivation and identity. It would be easy to feel violated and used. Being excessively needy and greedy, human beings almost always take more than they give. The idea of taking more than one gives is nearly impossible for a mermaid to understand. From a mermaid point of view, human beings have a misconception about the importance of ego and identity. People feel separate and isolated. It takes effort to establish social contacts. In actuality, the planet Earth is surrounded and encompassed by a magnetic field with the quality that a mermaid might describe as a love that is everywhere in every moment. Emotional independence and detachment. In spite of their profound empathy and capacity to join with others from within, mermaid women feel detached from other people no matter how strong the relationship or how involved they are with others. They feel they are observing life from a distance. At the same time, they do not feel alienation or isolation. They are content and enjoy being independent. For them, other people do not have the same life-giving vitality and feelings of well-being that they sense inside of themselves. Consequently, bonding in normal human terms of relying upon, needing, or depending on another is not of major significance to them. For example, I actually feel happiest when I am by myself. I feel guilty when I have a boyfriend, like if I go and have fun or if I feel happy without him. And also, for me, it is about learning. You can love everybody, but that does not mean you have to be attached to them. The learning begins and ends. It is not part of this form but of the soul and the spirit. I try to live halfway in this world that I am describing now and halfway in the world that exists around us that I have to function in for my business. So I have aches from that, because I am torn. So I am trying to find that balance. I sometimes tell people, I am a mermaid having a human experience. And, my son leaves in about 8 days to go back to Europe. I love him and am very loving and nurturing to my children, but I do not feel the sadness others think or want me to feel because he is leaving. It is as if I do not have feelings on it either way. I am sure if people knew how I feel, they would think me bad. I feel like I am a visitor here. I enjoy the experiences, but I am looking forward to going home. Again, no matter how hard I try, I just cannot seem to connect with many people on a deep level. I feel deeply grateful for the love and attention I have received from others. I know it's genuine coming from those people, but it's not fulfilling. I don't rely on others for my happiness or fulfillment. Because I can understand how people feel, I can understand how they are going to react. People don't even realize when they have blinders on and when their judgment is clouded by their unresolved emotional issues. Being detached, I see the big picture. This allows me to take them in a certain direction without them realizing I am doing so. I use my ability to make the best of the situation and get a harmonious outcome. If I have a problem with my feelings, I work on them at a later time. I understand how others might use this ability in a selfish way, but I would never do that. I still get confused as to why humans become so attached to one another. They attach to other humans as if the human is a physical object. One said, "I really don't get angry. It is such a useless emotion, really. Why be mad at someone? Because they are not perfect? How silly. My boyfriend will say he had a bad day. If I had the same kind of day, I would not label it in that way. For me, it is just another day. From my perspective, historical fairy tales about mermaids are mostly disinformation. The writers are making up stories and inventing mermaid personalities based on their own experience with women. And so almost nothing they write is insightful or informative. But they do have one thing right about the sea people. If a Selkie, half woman and half seal, is tricked into marrying a man, she will be his wife, love him, and love the children that they produce. But even so, if she is ever given an opportunity to return to her own form in the sea, she will leave in that very moment. She is able to do this because for her, love is not possessive. It is not furthered by controlling someone else's life. And she never forgets, no matter how socially adept she may become in interacting with human beings, that she has a non-human identity. I asked one woman if she would give up her human form and become a mermaid again if she had a choice, even if it meant leaving her husband and children behind. Her reply was that she would return to being a mermaid in that very moment. Most mermaid women are comfortable being here in human bodies. But some feel they have been brought here against their wills. In general, mermaid women do not get sad, feel sorrow, or experience loss, or if they do, the experience is not prolonged. Relationships. Romantic love involves bonding with one other person. For a mermaid, love is not possessive in this way. Love is a property of water. The ecstasy and bliss that water contains are not derived from a connection to one person. Love is in the rivers, the lakes, and the seas. This love encompasses the planet. Love, then, is independent of relationships. Mermaids do not have an ego the way we do. Bonding in normal human terms is not of major significance to them. Consequently, they do not comprehend the idea of romantic attachment. They are definitely not codependent. For example, I enjoy relationships, but I have never felt fulfilled by anyone. Yet when I am with another, part of me flows through my lover even when the relationship is over. The love is an unending stream. I know that men will always dissatisfy me, but I will always love. It is not that I do not love him, but he knows I am capable in a moment of moving on. He likes to hold on to things. I don't like to hold on to anything. I respect him and love him and like having a relationship, but I don't need it. If I am not in a relationship, I do not go searching for someone. Men just come to me. There have been times when I feel guilty like I am wasting his time because I am not attached to him the way he needs me to be. When someone says, "I never felt fully alive until I met you," that is very romantic, it is lovely, but I am pitying that person because that poor person, holding her chest, cannot find those things within himself. I mean, it is out there in the beauty of life. I like the idea of finding the right person, but I think you should find happiness within yourself rather than living it through someone else. I have to be honest. I have never felt complete with another human being here on Earth. For mermaid women, all men are inevitably unsatisfying. The men seem incapable of sensing the depth of life that is within the mermaid woman. And men are incapable of returning the same kind and degree of affection and empathy. In spite of this imbalance, mermaid women continue to be giving with whomever they are with. Men do not have the same depth that we carry. This was in Harry Potter. Hermione said to Ron, "You've got the emotional range of a teaspoon." That is how I see men. I am not saying that men do not have a sensitive side to them. They do. But in relating to the depth of a woman's feeling, I don't know if they can really relate. I haven't seen that. Some mermaid women have difficulty in their relationships to men because a boyfriend will discover that the mermaid woman is in no way dependent on him. So he thinks to himself, "How can there be a relationship if she does not need me? There is no bonding going on." One mermaid woman suggested that in this situation a woman should simply celebrate whatever the men do give, no matter how small it is. She went on, "We never need men. Having the relationship is really nice. But the need part is insignificant." I said to one mermaid woman, you have felt really connected with men. So when it suddenly ends, there is a feeling of loss. But it is temporary. She replied, it is kind of like, oh, what is next? Because I look at it like a progression in my learning. What ends in one relationship goes on in a new way in another. And, you know, I can connect with people but I do not really bond. I connect with them to serve a purpose, and after the purpose is served I am gone. My purpose for them is almost experimental. I am teaching men love and empathy. It is much harder than I thought it would be. In addition, mermaid women have the ability to continuously flow energy and love through others regardless of whether they are far or near. Water in nature is like that. It remains healthy because it is constantly in motion, flowing, giving and receiving endlessly. I asked one mermaid woman about how she is constantly flowing energy through her boyfriend and whether he senses this. She said she has always done this with all her boyfriends in the past. Her current boyfriend is aware of how she flows her energy through him, and he really likes that she does this. Innocence, and being uninhibited. The uninhibited sensuality and innocence of mermaid women are almost beyond human understanding. They are not promiscuous or nymphomaniacs. Rather, they are 100% in the moment aware of the possibilities of exchanging energy with others. They are not operating from a position of ego. They are feeling another person's body as if it is their own body and the other person's feelings as if these are their own feelings. They are not using human empathy. They are using mermaid empathy, which is literally inside of you and sensing you from within. There is no I present, only the feeling of being a part of each other and connected. As they grow up, however, they learn that human beings do not reciprocate these feelings of connection. All the same, this is their natural way of interacting, and this primal capacity never leaves them. It is the freedom they possess in regard to sexuality, sensuality, and love that is beyond human comprehension. For example, I don't understand why people can't feel pure love. No matter how much other people hurt me, I give love back. Love is my religion. Love in every moment. I am not attached to things, only love. Love is life, life is love, love is everywhere. I never understood why people did not love on the level I did. It was very confusing growing up even as a young adult. Something that came so natural to me seemed to be difficult for others. I never understood why love always had a cost or repercussions. For me, I love with my entire being. I don't understand why humans must try or work at loving each other. You love someone for the good, the bad, and the ugly, and if you can't forgive, then you really don't know how to love at all. Humans have strange connections and obsessions with other humans and materialistic items. These things have always been hard for me to understand as well. I was giving away jackets, toys, and all kinds of things even as a child. When I was young, I used to get confused because no one knew how to think in an unselfish way. I couldn't understand why people were selfish. Even now, I see it, but I still do not understand it. I have a hard time with the whole concept of morals and society's rules and norms. I mean, love is who I am and what I follow. For example, I do not on purpose hurt others. I don't get the Ten Commandments that some follow. Rules, laws. What is right and wrong in society's eyes, all of these things I have a difficult time understanding. I feel if only they knew how to really love, they would not need all this, because with love comes compassion, empathy, forgiveness. I used to wonder about the whole conscience thing. I mean, I am not sure I have that within me. I don't seem to understand shame or guilt the way humans do. Shame can be so restricting, and I don't like that. Speaking of sexually uninhibited, that is how I have always been. I don't understand or feel the emotion shame that so many others speak of. I don't understand the guilt and shame that go with sex. I am a very free, loving, and a wild spirit when it comes to sex. I am perfectly capable of being 100% uninhibited with sex. The emotions are off, I am detached. I can have sex with someone without feeling any attachment, I can be attracted, but it doesn't go beyond that. I would never use the word special to describe having sex with my lover, even though it is special in the social sense of not having it with anyone else. I like to experiment. I realize how humans work, that there are a lot of emotions and feelings involved. So it is important to not ignore those. Yet I want to be uninhibited, because otherwise sex is just expressing your ego. I still to this day do not understand the whole love and sex thing. For me, the two are separate. No wonder humans get so confused in relationships. I love sex. But for me, love and sex are not bound together. Sex is a natural bodily function. Love is of the heart, it is a soul-to-soul connection. Love does not require physical consummation in order to be fully expressed. Love is what I am. Bathing suits are the bane of my existence, and nudity and sexuality are big factors in my life. I don't like bathing suits. I never wear one when I am cleansing myself, immersing myself in the water. For a mermaid woman, being in the moment and going with the flow are what enables someone to feel alive. If the flow is strong, then what is happening is right. If the flow is weak, then something is wrong. This is their morality in its best sense. They understand that lust is essential for love, that lust and love are entwined and perfectly natural. If what you are doing makes you feel alive, then it is right. If what you are doing makes you feel weak, then it is wrong. This principle defines the sacred. In practice, however, it is not necessarily any easier for them to find which way to flow. Life is as complex for a mermaid woman as it is for anyone else. But they can tell from their feelings if something is right or not, and they usually sense before those around them when it is time to move on. On human beings. Human beings are savages. The men need to be coddled, the women are mean, vindictive, and jealous. The men are like children, and the women are selfish. I wish women would wake up and find their own personal power and realize they don't need to be mean. And men are always striving because they need to prove themselves. I think women are very powerful, and they often use their power for evil. I trust myself and know that I don't try to hurt others or gossip, but I don't trust women to do the same. Even so, women are drawn to me and respect me. Human women often are revengeful, angry, and want to hurt others. It is so sad that someone goes out of her way to make others feel bad. She must be so unhappy. I do not do selfishness. And I do not understand why women who are hurt by someone would want to hurt the other person in return. The idea of being revengeful, vindictive, hateful, or negative is beyond my comprehension. When someone does something malicious, I can't relate to that. I never feel like that, even when I am dealing with someone who is really cruel. I only want to do what needs to be done. I don't want to hurt someone who is trying to hurt me. It is amazing how all this earthly, physical energy, stimuli gets in the way or distracts them. They are not a very advanced race. Humans are very animalistic with many negative emotions. Sometimes I don't even think of myself as human. I was thinking about how as a child and all through my life, one of the hardest things for me to accept was how humans could be so cold-hearted and selfish, and they only loved you when you were what they wanted at that moment or doing what they wanted. They seem to hold grudges and not forgive easily. It is as if they really don't understand love at all. One moment they love someone, and then the next they don't. How do you just stop loving someone? I just never understood that. I understand how relationships don't work out, but for me, even for the ones that have not worked out, I still love all these humans unconditionally. And why do people want to waste energy on hate and negativity? I find it frustrating. I was just sitting here thinking of how humans go around almost as zombies when it comes to emotions and love. I can feel love all around me and in every bone of my body, but they seem to have such a hard time with the emotion they call love when really it is so much more than a thought or an emotion. And they search and search for it when really it is with and around them in every moment they experience. They just need to put it within every thought. I do love humans as I love all beings, but they tend to be so overdramatic. Yet I understand. Even my human tendencies can get the best of me at times. I don't want to say people are half dead. They just don't recognize their aliveness, the gift of life that they have now. The opportunities around us are limitless. We can be what we want to be, enjoy experiences in life. There is so much life and vitality, creative and artistic life to be lived. But in others there is something missing, as if they do not feel supported from within. They go on ticking life away, not even knowing how much is missing and not even knowing that they weren't fulfilled. Human beings lack in passion, feeling, love, empathy, all of it. I know I must make the best of this world I live in, and I do want to help. I love to feel alive and use all my senses. It is as if humans just go through the motions of life without really being able to love unconditionally and empathize. Secretive. Other than a few exceptions, it usually takes me between 6 months to 2 years to get a mermaid woman to tell me about herself. And then I am usually the only one she has ever shared her experiences with. They tend to be very secretive or shy about talking to others about what they sense and feel. Their acute receptivity makes them different, and it makes them vulnerable. How do you explain to other people what is so utterly natural and right, being able to feel others' emotions and sense their energy? They learn early on how to disguise themselves so they appear to be like other human beings. Interacting with others is a learning process. It is why we are here. All the same, I find it extremely difficult to be fully understood by others. I am quite secretive, but that is mostly because I realize others won't understand. All my life, people say I am mysterious. But I am not holding anything back. I just walk in this quiet knowing. We are evasive and elusive. We do not need to broadcast where we are at, what we are thinking, and what we are feeling. So I am secretive, I don't mean to be, and I think it is funny that others think I am. If I am asked a question, I will answer the question. I have nothing to hide from anybody. But I am not going to waste my time trying to explain the depth of me that nobody will understand. I do not tell others much unless they are ready for the information. Many people would just think me crazy if I told them the things I know and remember. There is real energy I naturally exude. But even as a child or teenager, I have had others who very quickly became attached to me if I let them. So I have learned how to block that kind of attention. Blocking is about being open or closed. Giving another energy is like leaning toward that person, but blocking is like leaving a distance between us. So I have had to learn how not to give others my energy. Mermaid women have often experienced being stalked. A complete stranger, for example, may follow a mermaid woman when she gets off of a bus. There are also people who know how to drain the energy from mermaid women. These individuals may unconsciously act as emotional vampires, trying to take the energy the undine women seem to be willing to give in excess. There are in fact a few human beings or other types of people who have the willpower to both sense and take possession of mermaid women. For such individuals, bonding with a mermaid woman is like being united to nature from within yourself. And so there is more than sufficient reason for mermaid women to become masters of disguise. Consequently, from an early age, they learn to block others from sensing their energy, they hide themselves. They are like professional actors when it comes to assuming a role different from what they really are. I asked one mermaid woman, on behalf of my readers, and putting aside everything that I have said to you, can you tell me who or what you really are? The mermaid woman replied, I use this body to experience things. My body is like a glove. It is something I put on and wear. It does not change who I am. Though I have entered a human body many times, I remain unchanged. I only grow in experience. I have disguised myself this time around. I can integrate myself into human society to an amazing degree, but I am not all that human. I even sacrifice or limit my connection to my otherworldly self in order to be more socially effective. Yet I am here as an observer of human reality. This is what I am. Death. Mermaid women talk as if the astral plane, the next world, is more real than this world. And since some of the mermaid women can so easily see and speak with departed spirits, the boundary separating the living and dead seems of little or no significance. Some mermaid women speak to dead people in the same way they speak to people who are alive. I do not fear death, I am happy to be here and to learn, but I am also excited about moving on. Death is not important to me. It is not that I do not value life. I try to be the best person I can. There is so much more I am a part of than this world that we see. Actually, for me, boredom is death. I don't believe in death. I remember many lifetimes. I don't believe in death. It is just leaving the body and I am moving on. Death is not to be feared or even of major importance. It is merely a transition. I have been thinking that there is this whole world I can sense but not see. It is frustrating that no one else feels it or acknowledges that it is there. It is so real that I am unafraid of going there. I do not fully understand it, but I feel that it will make complete sense when I get there. I am trying to make my husband understand some things. He is upset about a friend who will die soon of cancer. And he just does not understand that when he dies he will then actually be more alive than ever. I was thinking today about funerals. You know, in my entire life I have only been to one. I think they are so silly, and why do people mourn when they should be celebrating the new journey the departed are taking? I never understood the attachment humans have with their bodies. I sense the soul that has left the body. I try to encourage them and help them in adapting to their new situation. Traits unique to hardcore mermaid women. Introduction. To review, there are human women with mermaid auras, that is, they have a lot of water in their auras. This watery energy reflects some aspect of water in nature, a waterfall, a mountain pool, a lake, a stream on land or underground, a river, an ocean bay, or an Arctic bay. These women feel, think, perceive, and act the same way as real mermaids who are inside of human bodies. Though these women are human, they identify themselves with water in nature, so they act and talk exactly like the mermaids. Yet they have no ties to the realm of mermaids. A mermaid in a woman's body usually has some broader connection to nature. For example, her aura embodies the vibration of an entire ocean. These mermaid women, however, are from the other side. They are immortal beings occupying a woman's body. Consequently, they possess additional traits that the human mermaid woman usually does not have. For example, they are hardwired from birth with certain abilities. They can instantly connect to anyone on Earth with their psychic perception. They usually have telekinetic abilities in some form or possess mesmeric abilities to influence others. Since they are from the other side, it is easy for them to perceive and interact with spirits from the astral plane, such as fairies. And though both kinds, the human and the hardcore mermaid women, talk as if the astral world is more real than this world, the hardcore mermaid woman often talks directly to spirits almost on a daily basis. Sense and heal from a distance. A human mermaid woman can flow her aura through someone she is near to or cares about. A hardcore mermaid woman can do this with anyone anywhere on Earth. The other person does not have to be physically present for her to flow her energy through the other. The hardcore mermaid woman, then, is able to sense and heal others from a distance. Since distance is not a problem for her, she will often send healing energy to others on a daily basis. For her, this basic form of energy sharing is part of being alive. You share energy with others at a distance too? Sure. Relatives? Anybody. And sometimes I will doubt myself and call to check, and it turns out the person I was concerned about was in a hospital. So I was right. It depends on my mood and level of consciousness. But I can just look across the street and I will think, ah, that person needs energy, and I will send it, and it ends up as a color. Or it will be like, oh, happiness to you, and, zap, I give energy away to anybody. So if we put you in the air at a hospital, oh, I would zap everybody. And they would each get different colors of energy from me. relation to water. As children, hardcore mermaid women may spend many hours a day in water, sometimes 10 hours or more, either in a bathtub, swimming pool, lake, or other body. As adults, they prefer to be around large bodies of water. Some of them practice magic or send healing energy while they are in the bathtub. For me, being in water feels better than being anywhere else. I taught myself to do the mermaid way of swimming when I was a child, and I still swim like that. When I was a kid, I had to be in water. But now it is always around me. As a kid, there were times when I needed to get away from my family, out of society, and being in the water was the only peaceful place. Whenever I would get upset about something and couldn't get near the ocean, I would fill up the tub and get in and just float around until I was all wrinkled. I mentioned having to get into the water 5 or 6 times a day to keep myself feeling okay. I only feel comfortable when I am in water. I can only do energy work on others when I am fully immersed in water. As a teenager, I would sneak out and swim in the pool in the backyard every night. I went to the ocean today. No human words could describe the experience. I need to be near water. I don't need to get into it, just be near it. I don't think a stream or river would quite do it for me. Because it is not deep enough. It doesn't have the depth that my spirit needs to have. I draw energy from the water. I think I would start to feel like I was drinking too much coffee if I lived near only a stream or a river. When I meditate, I can become anything. But when I come back and start thinking, I am stuck with this human brain. I know how to get rid of the brain consciousness by just stopping my thought processes. Then it is like I am in water and nothing else exists. 10 minutes are like 6 months. But when I come out of meditating, I am stuck again with human consciousness. But I am making little advances. I allow my brain to feel like it is full of water, and then there is no difference between being human and being a mermaid. My body takes on a water vibration. I just remembered, my grandma said when I was young I would not get out of the water. The family used to joke about it. I had a pool most of my life and would spend weekends when not in school in the pool for at least 10 hours a day. A man shared with me, "Our child adores water. From the time she was born she has begged to take baths and showers and would stay in for hours upon hours if we would let her. I think she probably just has an affinity for water, but it would be odd if she were a child of the water spirits." I wrote back, "I consulted with another hardcore mermaid woman. Her advice is to let your daughter spend as much time in water as she wants to. The thing you can do for her is to make sure she has other happy and healthy children to be around and to learn from, since at that age she is very impressionable. I have always felt certain things were lacking from my life. I never lived near water until my early 20s, and this is when I began to feel really alive. I was so happy. I felt alive. And then I moved back to the Midwest and lost that feeling until I returned to Hawaii. I can only get that feeling if I get in a pool or bath. I feed off the magnetism that the water brings me. It is as if the universe or life can be seen in the reflection of the water. The water enhances all my senses. If I am sick or in pain, I get in the water as it is what comforts me. Sometimes you hear people say they are married to God. I sometimes feel I am married to the ocean. Water energizes, revitalizes me. After I immerse myself in a bathtub or pool, I feel most alive, energized. The water recharges me. The sea, water is life and life is the water, sea. Water is the essence of life. When I was a kid, whenever I got into the sea, I always thought that she was hugging me like my mom. Water energy and healing. For the last year, whenever I feel stressed or unhappy, I always close my eyes and imagine that water goes through my brain and my arms and cleanses every single pain in me. This gets rid of any feeling of stress or unhappiness I have. The energy I was sending was green like seawater. It poured into the other's body, swirling around. Then the energy began to spin in the opposite direction, taking on different geometrical shapes. Then it changed directions again. I use an energy to heal that is like vapor, like when you stand in the rain and it is not quite raining, a light drizzle. It is soothing, and that is what I want to receive, gentle, tender energy flowing. So that is what I give. The vapor is in the waves, and the waves create this energy that I send. The ocean is always around me. I can hear the ocean right now. This depends on my mood. Sometimes I hear rolling waves coming in, and other times the water sounds like a stream with water bubbling. Like right now. There is a calm, even flow, no wind, no current, a kind of ebb and flow. When I tap into the memories and thoughts of others, I feel their pain or happiness. I then send a healing love or energy to them. I also help them to see that there is light at the end of the tunnel. It all depends on what the person needs. I help turn their negative experiences into learning experiences, which then helps the individuals feel in turn that they can help others. Mermaid women are often involved in healing or health professions. They feel a compulsion to heal and to nurture the people around them so that others feel happy, content, satisfied, and gratified. Sometimes they are told they are the most loving person the other person has ever met. You may notice that a mermaid woman's family or close friends are charged up with energy. The mermaid woman can easily transfer life force and vitality between herself and others. Since she loves to give, she sometimes may give too much of her own energy to others and fail to remember that human beings are in the habit of taking more than they give back. Contact with the astral plane. When I am on the astral plane, I feel so much more alive in every way. We are so dragged down by gravity and negativity here. We have less energy. When you hug someone on the astral plane, we combine our energy together. It is better than sex. Sometimes I'll turn myself into a ball of energy and fly around and combine into one ball of energy with someone else. I am of course living in the astral world when I go to bed. It is very intense. I do not even know right now which is more real to me, the physical world or the astral world. In many ways I would say the astral reality. I feel much more alive on the astral level. Astral is more real than this world. It is a different reality. Astral colors are amplified. Green is the most brilliant. You could take everything that is beautiful here and magnify it by 1,000 times. But eating an orange there is not as real as here. Taste and smell are more real in this world. But colors are far more beautiful and intense. As a child, I used to be in my room on the ceiling looking down at my body. I remember being told it was time to get back in my body. I seriously remember always being out of my body. This is one of my first memories. When I was young, I saw fairies and flew with them. The sad thing is that I am so busy these days I do not focus on the fairies that are around me, so I do not see them as often as I used to. I keep getting messages that I should pay attention because they have things to say to me. Whether they are fairies or guardian angels, I do not know. I just know that they are there. I would say the fairies remind me of an elf the size of my hand. But I did not see them for long since they are very fast or hard to focus on. We cannot be so connected to nature and not see spirits. As a child I remember seeing fairies. I also saw balls of lights in different sizes that fly, as well as angels and spirit guides. My first memory was of the fairies that I would play with as a child. I miss them. When I was a child, the fairies would just fly around and come in my room and be in different places on the dresser or fly around, and I would leave my human form and fly around with them. The realm of mermaids is beautiful, magical, and there is so much love. It is beyond euphoric. And there it is so much easier to help others since we work in unity. There is happiness and comfort and no conflict. I can sense others like myself, undines inside of women's bodies. She is telling me I can have everything she has. It makes me want to cry, and I can feel her warmth and happiness. As a child, I saw fairies and gnomes, and trees spoke to me. They still do. Sometimes someone who has passed on can give me the experience that they went through. This can occur in seconds or minutes. For example, I touched the helmet of a man who had been to Iraq, and all of a sudden I was in Iraq in my head, seeing a tank overturned in water. I felt crushed, and I could not breathe. I see the men hold aid, and they show me things like their baby being born and that they wore funny hats. I was able to relay a message to the man who tried to save them but failed and was subsequently not able to deal with it. I had a friend who at age 25 died in a car accident. A few years later I could feel his energy around me. For 2 years I saw him in dreams and near my bed, or I would hear him call my name in the early morning. One time, in no more than a few seconds, he showed me his car wreck, the hospital where he died, how his mom felt, how he felt, how his friends felt. He saw it all. I even heard the doctors talking to his mom while he was standing there watching, invisible to their eyes. He showed me the operating room and what the doctors were saying. We do not die. We just use these bodies as vessels for our human experience. Other psychic abilities. I am practicing telepathy and clairvoyance. And I have been working on telekinesis lately, rolling objects around. I can heal others and sometimes save people who are terminally ill. I see the future and events involving many earthquakes and fires. I can tell when women are pregnant and tell them the birth date and sex of the child to be born. I find myself able to mesmerize, charm, and heal humans. Using my love, I like to make them feel good. With my 6-year-old daughter, we can guess correctly 9 out of 10 times the color the other is visualizing. When I am caught off guard and surprised, my energy surges, and I crash computers and other electrical devices. I had a dream one night I was at the subway that got bombed. I woke up and remember hearing an explosion and saying bomb and then went back to sleep. But the next day I saw it on the news and realized the same time I woke up was the exact same time it happened in Europe. As I was sleeping I must have left my body because I witnessed a head collision of a bus and car. A couple children were taken to the hospital. I do not remember too much about it. But when I woke up the accident was all over my news. I was helping with a murder case. I could see the entire thing and how it happened. With card games, I can see the cards the other person is holding by looking through the other's eyes. When I was a child, we went camping, and others used to use flashlights, but I did not use one. I could see fine. And when we walked on the rocks on the big island at night I used to walk barefoot. And it is lava rock there. And we would camp by the shore on rocky lava rocks by the sea. And I was the only one who would go with my father. He would wear sandals and I would go on the rock in bare feet in the dark and I would find my way. And sometimes I could not see, but I could tell when it was safe to take a step even when I could not see. I can slow time down by accelerating the speed of my reactions. I do not know how I do this. But if for example my niece is falling down and I cannot get to her, I will speed up my reaction so I am there in time to catch her. I do the same thing to avoid accidents when I am driving.